I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics' viral tubing mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS. .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Talking about the news.
Talking about the news. And you know what? I really wanted coffee. But I was like, last time I had coffee when we were recording.
Yeah,
and
how'd that go?
I don't know, man. I'm at a place now where it just kind of like sort of throws me off my game late at night. Like not even like I'm super awake, just like I start to get headaches and stuff.
I feel like it's almost a false sense of energy when you drink coffee when you're really, really tired. Like if you should be sleeping, but yet your brain is acting like it's wide awake at the same time too. Like my body will still be tired. I'm also a very strange type of person where like I can drink a cup of coffee and then go take a nap if I want to.
I can do that in the morning, weirdly enough. Like it wakes me up and then like I'm like, oh, I can take a nap now. But it's just, I think what happens is I drink so much coffee, especially now that I'm back in the office some days.
Mm-hmm.
I drink so much more coffee because like what else do you do? You like get up and go get yourself another cup of coffee.
Yeah, and you need like something to sip on throughout the day. Yeah. So you're just like sipping caffeine nonstop.
So then late at night, if I have another cup of coffee, my body's like, you've hit your maximum. Like,
oh,
stop.
I get like pukey. It's really weird.
Yeah,
like,
I just feel sick.
Yeah, I have a really weird, I throw up really easily anyways. Like my stomach always gets like weirdly upset.
What a good way to start this podcast. I feel like a real strong way to start a news episode podcast. I hope this is someone's first episode.
Exactly. Like this is just their introduction to us. I need a little levity though, because honestly, the news this week really depressed me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get into the first story here.
Please do.
Just get ready to be angry. It's all upsetting. So I'm not sure if this has gotten the attention that it deserves on social media and in the news and things like that, but police in Columbus, Ohio have released body cam footage that shows an officer fatally shooting 20-year-old Donovan Lewis
in his bed.
Yet
this
another
is going to go right along with everything that I'm about to talk about.
Oh, perfect. So this is yet another unarmed black man who was murdered by police. His killer's name is Officer Ricky Anderson. He claimed to have seen, quote, something in Donovan's hand leading him to pull the trigger. After Donovan was shot, it was discovered that it was a vape pen in his hand. So the reason that the officers were there is that there was a warrant to be served for Donovan with a felony arrest of domestic violence and assault and improper handling of a firearm.
Okay, I can't wait for that to get used against him. I mean, look.
Yeah.
Domestic abusers, well, fuck them. Like, we've said that many times on this podcast. However,
you still deserve due process of the law.
Right.
It's not a death sentence to be an abuser. And this is, so I wanted to stop and say I did Google it because I was curious about what this incident was or whatever, to just kind of get a little bit more information. And from what I read, there had been a few calls from like a girlfriend or a girl that he was with about domestic abuse. She was pregnant. Mm-hmm. There was a situation where he ended up kind of like shoving her down a hill at a park. Mm-hmm. And she had a bruised eye.
Awful.
That is all to say that two things can be true at once.
Absolutely. Look, it's not defending someone's shitty behavior or abusive behavior or saying that they're a good person to say that cops shouldn't be allowed to just shoot people willy-nilly because they got spooked.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is that I feel like those two things should be looked at very separately. Because
but they
I
won't
think
be.
They won't be. This is all going to be tied together. But I do think that it is important to mention because it is something that's in all the articles. Yeah. It is mentioned. So I wanted to get the research on that. So I felt like I could tell the story as truthfully as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I wasn't at all saying like that it's something that we should gloss over in any way. I just know that like,
but it is important to make that point.
Somebody has done something, like everyone's going to be like, well, who cares then if they got shot by police?
Exactly.
It's like, well,
well,
you should still
you
care.
Should care. Like, exactly. You should care. Like, your circumstances and your choices and your bad behavior doesn't mean that you should be killed.
Yeah,
it's just,
the
that's
state
not
doesn't
how it
get
works.
To kill you just because.
Yeah, exactly. So they were there trying to give him this warrant. They had been pounding on his door for about 8 minutes, they said, calling his name when a man finally came to the door that was not Donovan Lewis. They immediately took that man outside and handcuffed him. They went outside, or they went inside, saw another guy in there, took him outside and handcuffed
him. Hold
on. Yeah, this is the part where I'm like, why are we arresting all these people that are in the house?
Why are we arresting them? Are you allowed? So did they have a warrant that said we can go into the home?
I'm assuming that the fact that they were sent to the house for the warrant, I don't know if they were welcomed into the house or what the situation was. Or
yeah, I doubt they were
made,
welcomed in.
Well, I think if I had to guess what happened, they were getting really pissed off and angry that they had to wait for 8 minutes pounding on the door, calling his name. I don't know what grounds they had to arrest the two other men that were in the apartment. I don't have any details
probably,
on that.
Probably none. I'm going to go
sure
ahead.
I'm sure it's none, but I don't know what their reasoning right. behind it
sure.
would be. But those things kind of like, you know, set off alarm bells in my head a little bit. So these two other men were arrested, and then Anderson, the officer who ended up murdering Donovan Lewis, he's actually a canine officer. So he had a dog with him. And I'm like, don't bring the dogs into this.
Seriously.
Like, good dogs happen to bad people. That makes me really sad. Right?
Yeah.
So Anderson went into the apartment with the dog. The dog signaled to like a back bedroom. So Anderson and another officer went to the back and opened the door. And you can see all this on the body cam footage as well. They opened the door and you can see a man laying in the bed. And as he was getting up to meet with the officers was when he was shot. And it was literally moments after opening the door. Like, he made movement to get up, and that was enough to like spook the officer. He shot one, he fired one shot into his abdomen. So Donovan did not pass away immediately, but after he was shot, they immediately handcuffed him, dragged him outside before giving him any sort of medical aid or assistance. And it was after they cuffed him that they finally called 911 and got him to the hospital, and he was pronounced dead there. So this all happened, I believe it was like about 2 a.m. when they knocked on his door, and he was asleep, obviously. It's 2 a.m. By 3:19 a.m. he was pronounced dead. Like, okay. Not even an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Rex Elliott, the attorney for the Lewis family, stated at a press conference, quote, "There was no justification. Let me be clear. No justification for Officer Anderson to shoot an unarmed man trying to get out of bed as police officers were instructing him to do. Donovan was asleep before officers arrived and had no warning that CPD would burst into his apartment." Elliott said the family is calling for accountability, saying, quote, "They want this police officer punished, certainly, you know, not permitted to be out on the street again. We anticipate filing an action against the police officer that engaged in this reckless conduct. Even if he was a perpetrator of domestic violence, Donovan deserved due process, not death for his crimes."
That's exactly right. Yeah. You know, and that's, unfortunately, it's just this sort of thing happens so often.
Well, and I just realized I forgot to actually type up this part of my notes, but I listed three other instances that police in Ohio or in the Columbus area within the past few years have done something very similar. Do you remember, I think her name was Micaiah or Makia, yeah, Bryant. Mm-hmm. She was, yeah, one of them. I'm not remembering the other two off the top of my head, but they were both cases that we've talked about on the show. And these are murders that have happened within the same area by police in the last few years. And I also read somewhere else that this is in a line of many cop murders within the past few months, even by Columbus police.
I'm not going to lie to you. I've never been to Columbus. I'm actually planning on going there next year. I've never been to Columbus.
Well, Anthony's from Cincinnati. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Cincinnati is all right, but I do feel like Ohio, I always grew up, you know, a lot of people would talk about how the slaves or enslaved people would flee to Ohio.
I know nothing about, right? Ohio. Like, I don't even think I know that. Like, Ohio is such a nothing state in my mind. Sorry, Anthony. I just know nothing about it.
But it's had always been considered to me. I mean, I'd never been to Ohio before.
More
I
of like a safe haven? Got
with Anthony that it's a northern state. Yeah. I was always like, Ohio is a northern state. But let me tell you, the last time that I was in Ohio, and granted, I was in a little bit more of a rural area. I was outside the city. I did not feel great as a not white person in that area. And so I'm not speaking for all of Ohio, but I will say that, like, and again, it's a northern state. The number of Confederate flags that I saw in Ohio.
Yeah. I'm like, do you realize what side of the war you were on? Like, I think people are just stupid sometimes. Like, you're a northern, you weren't fighting for the Confederacy, you idiots.
But you know what? I think they know that. I think that they also just realize that the Confederate flag no longer represents what side of the war you were fighting on. Like,
no, it represents like your political views, right, as a whole.
No matter what anybody says when they're like heritage, not hate, or yeah, whatever, the truth is, we all know what the Confederate flag is a dog whistle for.
Right.
And that's why people in the North and in Canada, even like when there was that whole thing with all the trucks in Canada.
The truck protests and stuff, they were flying the Confederate flag.
Because we know what that means.
It just looks so stupid. Like, it just looks like you're uneducated and dumb when you do that. But yeah, I mean, I've talked about this when we were discussing everything going on in Minneapolis, especially with George Floyd. I have this very different view of, especially, you know, the Twin Cities. I'm like, yeah, we're like the most liberal part of this, like, northern state. And then there's all this, right? But like, it's easy for me to think that way.
Yeah.
And then when it's displayed to me that it's otherwise, it's so glaring, right, and upsetting.
I mean, the truth is that racism exists everywhere.
Like, that's
just the truth. And also, just because that's why when we talk about reforming the police or abolishing the police as they exist, that's part of what we're talking about, is right, that like, it's so deeply ingrained in our society and in our police force because, yes, of the way that policing started in America, that this kind of thing is going to happen. If you give this kind of power to a group of people who have these deeply ingrained biases, because most Americans have deeply ingrained racial biases,
right,
you're going to see things like this. Like, it is just inevitable. Like, that. So it has to be overhauled. With that said, let's take a break and we'll talk a little bit more about that after the break.
Oh, sounds fun.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
And we're back. Okay, so it's interesting to me that that was your topic for today, because the header of this entire section, which I really just have like one big thing that's like kind of three stories smushed into one.
Okay.
The topic that I wrote for this entire section is, we need to talk about the police again.
Okay, give it to me. Let's elaborate.
So in 2020, the slogan defund the police seeped into the mainstream. And what defund the police really meant, or still means, is that police departments, which receive a disproportionate amount of funding, should have some of that money taken away and redistributed towards alternatives and other social programs. So when people hear that, defund the police, they're like, you're trying to take all police away. You're trying to take away, you know, all law enforcement. And yeah, it's like, that's not what that means.
No, we're in fact trying to help you out as well, so that you're like, that's the thing that I think that a lot of people don't understand, is that our police are also responsible for jobs that they are not trained for, and we're asking them to do too much at the same time. They're not equipped to handle mental health situations. They're not equipped to handle certain like homelessness issues and other things like that, where other resources to come in and support that would be helpful for everybody involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, also, we can't afford to do some of these other more beneficial things because we are giving the police so much, like such a huge chunk of our budget. So you have, you know, social programs, social workers are notoriously not paid well at all. You know, all of these programs that don't have the funding that they need to take care of a lot of these problems.
Yeah.
So we have to give those jobs to the police because they're the ones who have all the money, right?
Exactly.
So this is from a Mother Jones article. Quote, options included unarmed emergency responders and youth development initiatives, among others. The hope was more general, though, to imagine beyond a police way of creating institutions that could prevent crime without the potentially deadly encounters with officers that had become all too common, especially over minor infractions. After all, Derek Chauvin killed George Floyd when the cops were called because of a counterfeit $20 bill.
Right.
So it makes a whole lot of common sense, right? Well, the police certainly didn't think so, and very much got in their fifis.
I love when you say fifis so much.
Because I really feel like it captures how immature
exactly
this situation is.
Did like, it hurt your feelings?
Oh, I'm no. so sorry.
Right? So they got in their feelings that people were like saying defund the police, right? They took it real personally. And police across the country just straight up started refusing to do their jobs. This is something that we saw a lot of. So in Kansas City, for instance, a man named Daniel Fox is currently suing the police department because they were basically on strike due to their one of their own having been convicted of killing a black man, a man named Cameron Lamb, who was backing out of his own garage. So Cameron Lamb was backing out of his own garage when a police officer came responding to something.
Was responding to him or responding to something else that wasn't regarding him? I think it was responding to something else.
So the public was outraged, obviously.
Of course, as they should be.
Yeah, and I didn't write notes on it. So, I mean, they could have been out for a warrant for him, but regardless.
That's besides the point. I was just curious.
Yeah. So the public was outraged, and they found the officer, Eric DeValcanary, guilty of involuntary manslaughter and armed criminal action, and they sentenced him to 6 years in prison.
Not enough, but okay.
So, yeah. So not long after this, Daniel Fox woke up in the middle of the night to the sounds of a break-in next door. So he went to investigate and he found that the door to his neighbor's house had been kicked in. So he went home. He had a kid at home and his wife at home. So he went home and he called the police, who arrived on the scene after 10 minutes. Arrived on the scene, but then left after 10 minutes. Like they didn't get out of their car. Like they showed up to say that they responded to the call, but then they didn't bother to investigate the neighbor's home. So Daniel called back asking why the neighbor's house was still open. And they said in the wake of the DeValcanary verdict that their hands were tied until the conviction was overturned.
Wow.
So literally the captain called and left a voicemail. And he said, quote, "It's kind of out of the police's hands until that judgment is overturned on appeal so that we can go back to our business of keeping citizens safe. Take care. Bye bye."
It is exactly in your hands. Mm-hmm. Who else's hands is it in if it's not in your hands?
Your job. It's literally your job.
I listen. So if you've listened to me long enough, you know how much I love the True Crime Obsessed podcast. And they talk about this all the time whenever there's like a story of, you know, especially like a disappearance and the cops are like, they're an adult, they can run away, like not a big deal. And it's like, do your fucking jobs. At least do the bare minimum, investigate a little bit. Worst case scenario, or best case scenario, that person is fine. Worst case scenario, we really do need you. You know what I mean? And like, it's this passiveness that is so dangerous. Because even when they do show up, sometimes it's like, whatever, it's fine. And so for you to say that it's not in your hands when it's your decision, or if you're the captain, if it's the people underneath you's decision to strike, it is in your hands.
Right. I mean, and basically saying that you're threatening the American public with inaction or harm, that, you know, inaction that could lead to harm.
Imagine if a doctor did that.
Right. Until you get what you want. Like, that's what you're saying. So when Fox posted a video about what happened to him on Twitter, two officers showed up at his house when he wasn't home with tactical gear adorned with weapons on, and told his wife, who opened the door, that they wanted to chat with Fox, who later said that he felt like the officers were attempting to intimidate him.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
That is so not cool.
Right.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. So he is now suing the police department.
Oh my gosh.
And we'll see how that pans out. During the summer of 2020, it was not a surprise that Minneapolis took center stage of the defund debate. While initially it may have looked like the department there was defunded, $8 million was reallocated from the police budget.
They did that to make things look good, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. By 2022, the Minneapolis Police Department had more cash on hand than before Floyd's murder. And in fact, so much money is being allocated to the police that the rest of the city of Minneapolis is in a fiscal crisis. That's how much money is being allocated now. So, and this is why. Let's break down why that is. One, there are the costly settlements from the violence the police committed, $27 million for George Floyd's family, $2.4 million for protester Soren Stevenson, $650,000 for journalist Linda Tirado. Tirado and Stevenson both have an eye missing as a result from police firing, quote, less lethal rubber-coated bullets.
During protests, correct? During protests. Right, yeah.
They also settled with protesters Jaleel Stallings and Virgil Lee Jackson Jr. for $1.5 million and $645,000, respectively, for shooting them with rubber bullets and then beating them and tasing them. Legal claims in the 15 days after Floyd's murder would lead Minneapolis to pay out $111 million in lawsuit settlements.
Well, and then maybe Derek Chauvin shouldn't have fucked up.
Yeah, but that's coming from... like, the people of Minneapolis are basically paying for that.
So, oh, that's right. It's not the police that are paying for it. It's, like, the taxpayers that are paying for it. Mm-hmm.
So funds have to be reallocated. I mean, it's the police department, but funds have to come from somewhere within the city budget.
Yeah, it's like the taxes and all that still.
So they're pulling it from somewhere else. Like other programs probably that need more money because your police don't know how to fucking act right? Because so many police got their feelings hurt during the summer of 2020, many straight up quit.
Yeah.
Nearly 300 left the department and over 200 have left with workers' compensation settlement checks and lucrative disability pensions based on claims that policing the protests gave them PTSD. So they said that having to police those protests where they terrorize civilians.
And it was your fucking fault. You started it.
Yeah.
Don't fucking kill people and we won't have to have these insane protests. Don't show up with rubber fucking bullets and instigate and make everything fucking worse. It's your fault.
Again, the city is having to pay retirement pension benefits and workers' compensation benefits for PTSD from that.
Womp womp.
Many of those who are leaving actually cost the city tons of money, but are still getting generous retirement packages. One officer racked up more than $344,000 in misconduct settlements over the course of his 12 years as a police officer. He is now receiving $56,000 a year in disability pension on top of $195,000 in workers' comp.
Okay, yet another reason why we need to defund the police. Why is it that retired police officers are treated so well when everyone else in the country is having to work until they're 80 years old?
Right.
Or else they won't be able to make enough money to live.
Yeah.
Like, I get, like, that's how every job should be treated. I'm not saying that, like,
we should be treated badly.
But it's just, it's kind of shocking to see the disparities there.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. There's another officer who was involved in the killing of a black man in 2013, and he is racking up more than $128,000 in disability pension on top of that same amount, $195,000 in his workers' comp. So you get the idea. This is happening. And again, there are people who have cost the city money. Like, there are people who the city has had to pay out settlements for because of their own violence.
And now we're still paying them back.
Mm-hmm. The combination of these payouts and police misconduct settlements is approaching $150 million. That's more than 3/4 of what the Minneapolis Police Department's budget was in 2020.
Oh my gosh.
The city's self-insurance fund, which it uses to pay out settlements, is expected to be negative $94 million by the end of 2022.
So what would that look like then for people in Minneapolis?
I don't know. I mean, all of this is just to say that
the
police department is very nearly bankrupting the city of Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Like, it's taking away from social programs that actually benefit the community.
Right.
I don't know what that looks like or what it's going to look like long term, but I do know that, like, all this talk of defunding the police and taking away that measly amount of $8 million from them really has done nothing, because unless we reform the police department, I mean,
it's still going to be costing everybody so much money.
Yeah. I mean, and in the meantime, like you just said, nothing has changed. Just this week, and this is a less extreme example, but it is just to say that this is still happening.
Yeah.
Body camera footage was released of a black pastor in Alabama who was arrested for watering his neighbor's lawn.
Stop.
Yeah.
It's like the Karens that are like, the black kids are selling lemonade on my street. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Like, okay. I mean, he lives on this street.
Yeah.
His neighbors were out of town. He was asked if he could water their plants. He agreed. So he was over there doing that. The officer, whose name has not been published, which insert eye roll, pulled up and approved, asked Jennings if that was his car in the driveway. He's like, no, that's my neighbor's car. And so he's like, well, do you live here? And he's like, no, but I'm supposed to be here. He was like, I'm Pastor Jennings. I live across the street. I'm looking after their house while they're gone. I'm watering their flowers. So he, the officer tells him that somebody in the neighborhood reported a suspicious vehicle and a suspicious looking person who's not supposed to be in the yard.
Oh, a suspicious looking mm-hmm. person.
What does that mean?
You mean a black person.
He's literally like a 60 something year old black
and
man.
And he lives in the neighborhood. Right. What the fuck do you want?
Well, so Jennings asked the officer who made the claim in the neighborhood. And when the officer didn't tell him, the two exchanged words, resulting in Jennings being placed in the back of a police cruiser. Following his arrest and being placed in handcuffs, the neighbor who called authorities about Jennings being a suspicious person tells the officers that she recognizes him and says he lives right there and he would be watering their flowers. This is probably my fault.
Why did you call the police?
It's definitely your
fault. And also, like, watering plants. I mean, I live in LA, so I feel like...
I see people watering other people's lawns all the time. I just assume they were hired.
I catch people, like, walking close to my apartment all the time. Like, my door is right off of, like, a very busy street, and it creeps me out. But there are people, like, we have had homeless people using, like, the outlets that are, like, outside. Uh-huh. Like, they'll sit outside our window, or people will come, like, walk right by our garden and things like that. My instinct is not to call the police.
Right, right.
That doesn't neither. Make sense to me.
No, I mean, also, mind your business. Like, it's so
That's
like,
what I'm
weird.
Saying. Like, I just feel like I see people everywhere doing things. It's not my place to get curious about what that person is doing.
Especially...
Unless that person is looking in the windows or doing something that's really, like, not
right. Or climbing in the windows or fiddling with the door. Or,
exactly.
You know, something that's... And even then, I would stop and ask myself, like, well, could this be a relative? Could this be... You know,
I need to get involved in this right now?
Right. I would not... My first instinct would not be to call the police. And especially if I saw somebody outside doing... yard work.
Yeah.
My instinct would be, if I didn't recognize them, right? If I didn't offhand be like, oh,
I would think it was
neighbor,
like a relative.
I would think it's either a relative or they hired someone to come and water their lawn for them.
Right.
Like, I would just assume, like, what kind of criminal is like, well, just let me water these flowers real quick.
A very nice one.
Like, seriously. So even though this woman identified Jennings and said that she knew him, they still arrested and charged him with obstructing government operations. The charges were later dismissed and Jennings was released, but he obtained a lawyer who pushed to have the body cam footage released in order to clear the way for, quote, legal action against the officers and more. So
good.
Here's hoping. That happened, I think, back in May, but the body cam footage just got released.
So I have a little update on the don't say gay laws in Florida. The Sarasota School District in Florida is taking it all one step further with even more damaging policies. So the district, which covers 62 schools and over 42,000 students, quietly adopted new guidelines this week requiring all staff to notify parents if a child tells them they're gay or if they are changing their preferred name or pronouns than indicated on their
I'm
records.
I'm sorry. That's none of your... like. No. If my child, for whatever reason, trusted a teacher with
more
that
than
information,
me, you know, yeah.
right? Or even if he trusted me but also wanted to tell his teacher, that information is for the person who received that information.
Yeah.
That information, someone's sexuality is not anybody else's business until they are ready to make it their business.
Exactly. Like, mm. Exactly. So... Superintendent Brennan Aspel created the guidelines without a board vote to comply with Florida's Parental Rights Education Act, which is popularly known as the Don't Say Gay Law, which took effect in July. So there's this little like flow chart that I found, and it starts with student makes request of a school staff. Then it goes over to school staff will notify administrator and school counselor of the request. Then, if a parent or guardian refuses consent, the administrator requests an email or letter from the parent in writing, and staff will not utilize preferred name and or pronouns. After that, administrator and or counselor will notify the parent of the request. After that, if parent or guardian gives consent, the school counselor schedules a conference to include administrator, parent or guardian, student, and counselor to complete the gender support plan. Lastly, once parent signature is obtained, pertinent staff are notified that the request is approved.
You know, I hate this, especially, I think, because I really hate when people act like children don't deserve autonomy.
Right?
Over themselves. Like, they
right.
are actual
or that they
people.
Can't, or that they can't have any secrets. Like, the thing to me that's so scary is that there are so many kids out there where school is their safe haven. It's a place where they can be called by their preferred name or their preferred pronouns or be out. And then when they're at home, maybe they can't do that and they can't be themselves. So the fact that the school is going to tattle on them is incredibly dangerous.
Yeah,
and it could lead to abuse at home.
Absolutely.
It's scary.
Absolutely. And I also just think needing permission from a parent, needing a parent's signature to be referred to the way I want to be referred to,
right,
is saying that I don't deserve sovereignty over my own body,
yeah,
and my own life. Mm-hmm. And like, just because children are children doesn't mean they don't deserve that. They're people.
Yeah.
That's,
and children
so
are also much smarter than we give them credit for. I just think like that's something that I think is a bigger conversation as well. Gail Foreman, who is a history teacher in the district, has expressed concern about and to her gay and trans students, telling them, quote, don't say anything to me if you're not out at home, which
God,
at the same time,
so
it's like,
sad.
But you can also just keep their secret. You don't have to tell
administrators,
but that puts her job in jeopardy.
Yes.
Like, I understand that too, but like, that almost rubbed me the wrong way because it's like, look, don't talk to me about it if you have something to say, because I'm going to have to tell on you.
I understand. I mean, I do think it's coming from a supportive place. You know, I've seen a lot of stories recently, and we can talk about it maybe next week or something, about just the hordes of teachers who are leaving teaching right now. And it's like, how can you blame them? Like, look at...
It's too much responsibility.
How much you're putting on teachers right now. Like, that's... They just wanted to educate and like be there for kids and help them and help mold young minds. Hopefully that's the reason why you want to go into that profession. And they're being told like, you have to do all these things. You have to report your students. You know, you can't be a safe place for your students. You also have to maybe get a gun. Like, it's so...
It's insane. And Gail talks about how she's like, I don't want to go home every night thinking that I've maybe made the home lives of my students worse.
Yeah.
But she also said that a way that she works around the preferred name situation is that she calls the students by their last name. And I thought that was a really great way for her to still be respectful.
It really is. Yeah.
And just call them by their last name, and that's fine. Like, I like that they're finding some sort of workaround, but at the same time, it's so frustrating that teachers have to explicitly say, you can't trust me.
Right. You have to carry that burden of like, I mean, I'm sure she wants to just keep their secrets, but I think that there's that fear there. Like, the school is putting that fear in you that like,
she could lose her job.
Yeah,
she could,
we could fire you if we find out that you didn't tell us something.
And
you
if
know?
She gets fired, maybe that would impede her getting another job in the future. We don't know if this person has a family. Like, when I first read that, it was kind of like, well, fuck you, lady. But at the same time, I understand that it's
complicated.
It's so much responsibility. Yeah. Like, this shouldn't have to be this Gail Foreman's problem to begin with.
Right.
And that's what's so frustrating. But I thought it was really important to discuss because we haven't really talked about much of the don't say gay stuff in a while. So for any of our Florida listeners, please be aware of what's going on in Sarasota County. I know. Honestly, it's all bad this week. We have no good news.
We live in a really wild time. I mean, I'm sure that everybody feels that way about the time in which they live. But truly in America right now, we were briefly united on TikTok. I will say that if nobody is up to date on the UK versus US TikTok.
I know nothing about TikTok ever. So fill me in.
I've never. It's too much to cover here. If you know,
but
you know,
people,
but I will
but
fill
people
in with
were
you.
United between the UK and the US?
No. Against. I've never seen the US more united for a cause.
Oh, like, what was it?
In a long time. It was just this woman was basically saying that like the US has no culture and that the UK is more diverse than the US, and the US clapped back so hard.
Yeah.
Rightfully.
I was going to say, that's like, I don't know where she's basing
that off
of.
Yeah, she's wrong. But, you know, even given that, right? I will defend that with my dying breath, right? But even given that, the U.S. is in a real weird spot. And, like, I know we have been since 2016, but I do feel like it's just getting
weirder.
Like, it's just getting weirder.
Yeah. Because the deep brainwashing hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, it's
and may never. Let's buckle in, shall we?
I think that that's why it feels weirder, is that it feels more settled.
Yeah.
And like, this is just
it's
what
not,
it is now.
It's not like, oh my God, can you believe this is happening? It's like,
yeah, I can't believe
another thing is happening. Yeah. Let's talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if there's anything next week that you want us to talk about, please go ahead and email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com or DM us on our Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. We have a Facebook business and group page. You can go ahead and rate and review us on the business page and chat with the other listeners in the group page. I keep forgetting to mention this, but in the link in our show notes, you can also check out our merch if you are interested. Last but not least, if you haven't done so already, please go to your Apple Podcast app and leave us a 5-star review with a quick sentence about why you enjoy the show. It is truly so helpful and we really appreciate it. All right, that's all we have for you today. With all that being said, we encourage you to rage on.
Cheers.
Are you okay?
I'm not. Oh my God.
Okay, let's do this again.
Please. Okay, sorry.
With all that being said, out by myself and I was like, what's going on? And then he said, cheer.
My brain short-circuited. It really did. I got a text and I was like, what's happening?
That happened to me recently when we were doing the intro where I just totally forgot what words were. Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
With all of that being said, we encourage you to rage on. Bye.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.